A couple of weeks ago, we had a lesson on the tabernacle, and it was delayed. The tabernacle was delayed because of the egregious sin of the people. I'm just going to show you the chart again of the time at Sinai. There were 2 months after they left Egypt, and then they reached Sinai. And then Moses disappeared in the mountain, speaking with the Lord speaking with Moses. And for that period of time, the people thought that he was never going to return. And that's when they made a golden calf, or Aaron made a golden calf, and they worshipped it. The Lord sent Moses down after that 40 days to deal with the people. And we had that lesson last week, where he dealt with the people. Eventually, the people repented of their sin. And we ended up our lesson last week with Moses had gone back up the mountain again for 40 days, and the people now are ready to build the tabernacle. And we see that their heart has been changed. Their hearts have been changed. Their hearts have been moved by the Spirit of God to do His work. And remember, at the beginning of chapter 35, there was instruction about remembering the Sabbath. And I made a suggestion that the possibility was that he did that because their hearts have been changed and they're really wanting to serve the Lord at this point in time. And this is instruction to them to say, I want you to work hard, but you need to work hard like I want you to work hard, and to remember the Sabbath. Every seventh day, you take that time off. And we see as we get into chapter 36 that's exactly what happened. And let's read chapter 36, and I'll read the first few verses. Now Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary, shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him. Again, that's a phrase that has been repeated many, many times, talking about how their hearts have been changed. Everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to perform it. They received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all of the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing, and they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material that they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. Isn't that a great story? It's a transition of a people with sinful hearts where the Spirit of God has stirred their heart to do the work of the Lord. And, you know, what a great thing to have to tell people not to give. And that's exactly what happened there. There must have been a wonderful time during their time in the wilderness. Probably the best time that they had during this period of time. But now it's time to get to work on the tabernacle. And we see that. I'm going to show you some charts of the tabernacle. And this is, I think you saw this. I think Rocky showed this chart when he was here a couple weeks ago. And I just want to, we're going to actually do some things this morning to build a tabernacle here. We're not going to do the whole fence and everything, so don't worry. But the tabernacle consisted of one building. You can see the building there, and it had two rooms in it. One was the Holy of Holies, and one was the Holy Place. The Holy of Holies was in the back part where you see one and two. That's the different pieces of furniture that are there. And then the Holy Place was the front part of the building. And then you have the courtyard, and there are very specific instructions about the tabernacle and the construction of the tabernacle. As a matter of fact, it's repeated several times. When Moses went up the mountain the first time, he told us what the Lord told him about building the tabernacle. And when he goes up the second time, he's told again, this is how you're to build a tabernacle. And then when they build a tabernacle, he's telling us again, this is how we're going to build the tabernacle. And then when we get done with that, he tells us again how we're going to put the furniture in the tabernacle. So this must be important for us to understand. And so we're going to go through that. I want you to note, too, nobody has made any comments, really, about our room. Have you looked on the floor in our room? I'm talking about up here. What I've done is I've marked out for all of us the two rooms. This is the actual size of the two rooms. This is the Holy of Holies here. If you can't see, you can stand up if you want to see. But there is a blue line right here, which was where the veil would have been. Okay? And then this is the Holy of Holies, and then this is the back end of the tabernacle. And then this would be the Holy Place, and it actually goes just to the wall. I had to stop the line before I got to Renee because I knew she'd mess up my line. But anyway, it goes right about to the wall. This is 10 cubits by 10 cubits. How many know what a cubit is? How much? From here to here, which is about how many inches? 18 inches. Okay? That's how they measure that. So if you measure my lines here, you'll find 10 of my arms. 10 cubits by 10 cubits. And it was also 10 cubits high. Okay, so it's a box. And then the Holy Place is 10 by 20. Okay, so you can get an idea of how big the tabernacle was. All right. And let me just make a couple comments about size of the... Well, you can see the football field up here. So that gives you an idea of the size of this. This was 100 cubits by 50 cubits. So 100 cubits is how many feet? I know this is a little challenging. It's about 150 feet, roughly. It's about half a football field is, you know, what that is. And so you can see about how far it is. I think I measured if I were to place the tabernacle right here, the fence would be almost where, you know, the sidewalk is out there on the other side. Okay, so that gives you kind of an idea of how big the area was. So, but we're going to talk about some of the furniture. You're actually going to talk about some of the furniture as we go through this. Here's a picture. I think Rocky showed you this picture as well. This is a model. Can you all see that? Okay. This is the model that was built, and I know Rocky commented on that road in the back. That wasn't there when the Israelites built the tabernacle. That's the road to Palestine, I think, is what it is. So, but you can see the relative size of the tabernacle, and it had one gate, I think this gate was, if I remember right, it's 20 cubits, 10 cubits on each side. This is the construction of the tabernacle, and when you read, you'll see that in this particular portion there were five pillars, and where the veil was, there were four pillars that would be right along there. And so all of this makes sense. What doesn't make sense in this picture is the boards, and I'll show you the next picture. We'll show you that the boards actually went up and down, but there were curtains that they built that that went across the top, and then there were some other coverings as well. Now, this gives a better idea of the boards. Each of these boards was 10 cubits high. That's how we know that that's how high the tabernacle was. And each board was a cubit and a half in width. And then it talks, I'm not sure how they lashed it all together. Here's an idea of how they did that. But all those boards were lashed together. There were 20 boards along each side, and then six on the back. And then there was a covering of these curtains, two levels of curtains, and then there were three levels of covering. First curtain was fine twisted linen. Then there was a goat's hair. Then there was a covering of ram skins, and then a covering of porpoise skins. And then these boards were acacia wood. And then there was, of course, you know about the veil that was, when Christ died, it was torn in two because he is our access to the Father. And then there is the screen in the front as well. So there's a curtain there for entry into the tabernacle. And so here's another picture of that model. And it shows the covering. It doesn't show all the different coverings. And then the laver, and then the bronze altar out in front. Okay, beginning with chapters 37 and 38, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning than we've done before. If you'll notice over in your far right, I have some PVC pipe, and so we're going to do the footprint of some of the articles of furniture, so you can get an idea of the size. And then at the end of the class, just like in our passage, we're going to take those footprints and put them in the tabernacle here so you can see where they were. I went and bought all this PVC pipe and these little L-shaped connectors. And the girl at the cash register says, what are you doing with all this? And I said, I'm teaching a Bible lesson. And she said, what verse? So I told her I was doing the tabernacle, so, and then I told her where our church was, and so, but at any rate. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to do this by tables, because what I want you to do is I'm going to give you a sheet of paper, like this one is the Ark of the Covenant, and there are two passages. There's the passage that Rocky taught from, as well as the passage that we have today. And I want you to take those passages. I want you to go over to the side over here and get the Ark of the Covenant tubing so that you can put that together. And it's not real hard. We're just going to do little rectangles and squares, so don't overthink it. And then you do see that we have the candlesticks. That's from the weddings, so it's a little bit different. And what I want you to do is to read those passages and then make some notes and then put your thing together. And then I'm going to ask you, this doesn't tell you how high it is, but I do tell you on the things how long and wide they are, okay? So you'll see that marked on the sheet, on the pipes. And then tell us how tall it was and tell us a little bit of what the scripture says about it. And so we'll go through each one of the articles of the furniture in a few minutes. So these two tables will do the Ark of the Covenant. And let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. Let's do these two tables. You're going to do the mercy seat. Actually, those are together, but we're going to do them separately. Let's do these two tables. We'll do the table of bread. And these two tables will do the lampstand. So you actually won't be putting anything together, but you can go get the lampstand. Okay? And this table will, these two tables do the altar of incense. These two tables will do the altar of burnt offerings. And these two tables will do the laver. Okay? I'll say, so come up and get your stuff. Now you're gonna, I'm helping you. So you're just going to put them together. It's good. You're not doing the height. You're just doing the footprint. But you need to tell us. Yeah. Yeah. And then you need to tell us how high it was. You're going to put it on the table, and there's somebody's going to stand up and say it was about this high. It's going to be in cubits. Yeah. Because otherwise she won't be able to figure it out. Which one are you?
The burnt offering.
Burnt? That's the big one, I think.
The big one?
Yeah. The brazen bronze altar?
Yeah.
Yep. Good. Well, I'm doing all right.
You're talking this is actually
full-size. Yeah, yeah, it's real small. Yeah, yeah, that's it. You guys are going to have to get out of the tabernacle, though, and go over here.
You're going to have to move it?
Yeah.
Can we work on the Sabbath?
Can we work today? Well, we're doing Old Testament Sabbath. You couldn't do this yesterday.
The engineer has to tell us what to do. The real dress to tell us what to
do. He wants us to get out of the tabernacle. Be over here. But you enter from this side. We have to go
to your copy of your slides.
Okay. I will send them to you. You got it.
Thank you.
Now, one thing about the labor is there are no numbers on here. There's no dimensions for it. So you guys need to, I just did this so that you have something.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, you're doing it on faith, but you need to talk about what the verses say about the labor. Yeah. Light them. Yeah. That long. Yeah.
Where did they get that idea of the wood picture where they had the hooks on the outside?
Well, you know, the Bible says they were connected with tenons. I'm not sure what tenons. When I look up tenons, it sometimes looks like the boards are like this. And so I'm not sure, you know, how they really were.
Well, a board is a tenon.
Yeah.
There's tendons in the body, too.
Well, that's tendons.
Tendons. A board is a tendon.
Yeah,
they could actually cut off the ends of it.
Is this part of the lesson here?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
When we bring in a doctor.
Oh, look at Mr. on task right here. Said they're standing around.
We're done. You're not going to put it in where it goes.
No.
We're going to do that later. Yeah, it has to go in the next room. That's why you're not going to do it.
Oh, come on.
Okay,
back
again.
Okay, ready?
No, just leave it where it is. Stay out of my tabernacle. Yeah. Yeah, get it out of my tabernacle. It's in the wrong place. Huh? They're in here. Only the Holy of Holies. Only the Ark of the Covenant. No light. There's no window. Dark. He was the light. Yeah, it's all dark. Okay, let's gather back at your table. And what I'd like to do is to... I'll show on the screen a picture of the furniture, and then I'd like to have each table to talk a little bit about the furniture. You don't need to give, we don't have time for a 10-minute sermon. I realize we have a few pastors in here. So, at any rate, let's do Let's do the Ark of the Covenant. And the mercy seat goes on top of that, but we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. Tell us how big it was. And all right. You can start any time. You can see it in the picture here. It actually, Aaron's rod that budded, yeah, in the manna. Okay? Okay? All right, thank you. All right, and then this is the Ark of the Covenant, but on the top of it is the mercy seat. So, the mercy seat group. All right. Okay. And that is, you know, when you try and get pictures, you can get a lot of different pictures of what it looked like, but it looks something like this. So, all right, here's a table of bread, table of showbread. Good. All right, golden lampstand. Okay. All right. The altar of incense. Okay. And where was that placed? Okay, in the holy place. All right. We're going to place them in a few minutes. So, okay, and that's where they would burn incense. So, you know, oftentimes in the scripture it talks about a sweet aroma, and the Lord likes that sweet aroma coming, and it's like the prayers of the saints going up or the prayers of the priests going up. So, all right, the altar. Thank you. Yeah, and they wouldn't let us go in there, so we're not going to. Okay. All right, thank you. All right, and then the last one is the bronze basin. Okay. All right. So that gives us, let's back off here. That gives us all of the furniture, and we're going to place the furniture just like the scripture says in just a minute. But what I want to do first is, let's go back to Exodus chapter 38. And verse 9 says that they built the court. You know, right after he talks about the bronze laver, he says, then he made the court. And there's an explanation there of how the court was made and all the different posts. We'd have to go back to one of the charts, but when you saw the fence around the tabernacle, I think there was something like 60 posts on each on the north side and the south side, and then 20 on the ends. I can't remember exactly, but there were very specific instructions about how the fencing was to be done as well. The height of the fence was 5 cubits, which is how many feet? 7.5. Okay, 7.5 feet. So it's, you know, a foot and a half over my head is how high the fence was. Then there's an interesting part that talks about, starting in verse 24 of that chapter, about the cost of the tabernacle. And it gives us some indication of that. I looked on the Internet to see what the cost was, and there are a couple places say that it was more than $10 million was the cost of the tabernacle, and that's without labor and some of the other things that would be in it. I took, I'll show you says that there were 29 talents of gold, talent of gold, and they're different notations on that, even whether it's 75 pounds or and one dictionary, Bible dictionary, it said it was 93 pounds, 12 ounces, something like that. And John MacArthur Study Bible says the talent is 100 pounds. So I just took 100 pounds, which is 1,600 ounces, times 29 talents, which is 46,000 ounces, and gold today, as I looked that up, is about $1,100 an ounce. So you multiply that all together, and that's $51 million. And then the silver, a similar sort of thing, you come up with about $2.7 million based on the price of silver. One thing that, you know, when I saw that, whether it's $10 million or $50 million or $60 million, it's a lot of money. And for a small building like this to be worth $50 million, what does that tell us about our God, that he would do that? What about the poor? Then it, you know, I thought of Judas and his criticism of the woman who brought the perfume that cost so much. And what does that say? That, you know, the Lord says she did the right thing. And the Lord says here, you did the right thing because you built it exactly like I told you to build it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And even the beauty of the tabernacle wasn't on the outside. There was coverings over all of that. It was on the inside. And, you know, also we passed over that little verse that, you know, when the Israelites left Egypt, it says that they plundered the Egyptians. Boy, did they plunder them. I mean, this is after building a golden calf. You know, so, and they had to be told not to bring any more. So, you know, when it says they plundered the Egyptians, the Lord really destroyed the Egyptians. And, you know, this is an indication of all of that. It's an amazing amount of money. No, it doesn't. That's exactly right. Yeah. Does not include the fabrics or tools or any of the other materials. This is the priestly garments. When you get into chapter 39, it talks about how the priests are to be dressed. And I know Rocky showed this chart when he taught the lesson, so this is a repeat of that. But there's the high priest's daily dress, and he had some shorts on underneath, and then he had a tunic, a white tunic, and then there's a belt, then there is a robe, a blue robe, and you can look at they had alternating pomegranates and gold bells on the bottom. And then the ephod, which is this item of dress, which is real tight woven material. I was going to try and show you, I'm still going to try and do this, but I don't think it's going to work. A video, this man had somebody weave that, and it took him several months to do that. A lady did that in Maryland, I think it was. She actually wove it according to what the Bible said, and it took her several months to do that. In that picture I showed you of the timeline, it was 7 months to build the tabernacle. So it's a long period of time to build this small thing with a fence around it. Then there was the breastplate, and on that breastplate was 12 stones. Actually, on the ephod, there were also, it shows that over here, settings of gold, and there were two sardonyx stones with each one had the six names of the tribes of Israel on it, so that they would be represented by the high priest. And then there were four rows of three jewels here on the breastplate, and you can see that a little bit better here. You can see it cuts it off here, but here's four rows, and then there are three jewels on that breastplate representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the Urim and Thummim was placed inside that breastplate. That was an indication of God's guidance, and we'll see that as we go through the Old Testament references to the Urim and Thummim. And then the turban, and then a crown, which had the words "Holy to the Lord." And all of that description is in chapter 39, and then I can't remember the chapter before that, but it talks about it when he first gave that instruction to the children of Israel. So I'm going to try. No, won't do it. There's a man who did a study, and he is dressed in this material. And I was going to show you that, but I can't access the internet for some reason. I could do that at home, and they may have blocked YouTube on our church internet, so I'm not sure what the reason. I'll talk to Larry about it. Pardon me? Okay, we can do that. Yeah, it's I can't speak for his theology. I don't know what his theology is, but he just talks about this some of this dress right here. He didn't get to everything in that video. So, but anyway, that's the priest's garments. So when we get done with building the tabernacle, we are to this point right here. And he tells us exactly when that is. Let's look at those verses. Look at Exodus 39, verse 32 and 33. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed, and the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, they hadn't put it all together. They got everything all prepared. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all of its furnishings, its clasps and its boards and so forth. Skip down to verse 42. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work. And behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. So what Moses did is, if it said it was to be a cubit by a cubit, he got his cubit ruler out, and he measured all of that and checked it to see that it was done exactly like the Lord told him to do. The same with the priestly garments, and so it was... this was all done according to the instructions, very precise instructions. Pardon me? Oh, you did. let's gather around your iPhone. Okay. So after he had erected after he put all that stuff together, then they began to erect the tabernacle. Chapter 40, verse 1 says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So here's the first day of the first month. And that's what he's talking about. And that's when they put together the tabernacle. Skip down to verse 17. And now I'm going to read this next section, and as I do, when it gets to your piece of furniture, I want you to place it as it says that the Scripture tells us to place it. Okay? So let's read down. Now in the first month, the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle and laid its sockets and set up its boards and inserted its bars and erected its pillars. That's talking about this section right here. Remember, we talked about the boards, the 15 foot boards, 10 cubits. He spread the tent over the tabernacle. That's the all the coverings that go over the top, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he took the testimony and put it into the ark. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. All right, so are you going to... All right. All right, we have a Levite right here. Yeah. Okay. And there are actually poles that were attached to it, and he put that in the ark, and that would go probably in the back part. You got to stay inside. Yep. That's good. Okay. Now I'll say one other thing, that the tabernacle always faced east. That's actually west, but I couldn't do this like I wanted to do it. So we're going to pretend like this is east, because we're going to talk about the north side and the south side. Okay? So we're going to get there, all right? Okay, and then they put the mercy seat on top of the ark. So we'll do that. Now, we don't have depth, so we're just going to lay this over on top of the flat ark there. Okay, the next thing that they did is he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up a veil for the screen and screened off the ark of the testimony. Now, if I really wanted to do everything, I would have Clark go in and pull out all the wall here. And it would go across here to shut off the Holy of Holies. Okay? And we were talking about it on the side over here that the Holy of Holies had no light in it. It didn't have this little window here. Okay? So it would have been a completely dark room. And so when the priests came in once a year to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, that pictured our propitiation. But the only light would be whatever light the Lord provided. And He is the light, so I don't worry about a dark room here. But it was all closed off, top, sides, and now the front part with the veils, the four posts that would have been here, and then the veil. Okay, once that was done, then we can do the rest of the equipment, the furniture in there. He set the arrangement of bread in order on it before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded. Then he Then he put the table in the tent. Skip back to verse 22. Put the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle, outside the veil. Okay, so outside the veil means on this side. And he put it on the north side of the tabernacle. So, if this is east, which side is north? This side. Okay? And we have lots of stuff here, so we probably would have put it right here, but we're going to put it over here. So it goes on the north side. It's about that size. It is that size, except it's how many cubits high? Cubit and a half high. So that's cubit and a half is 27 inches. 27 inches. All right. Okay. He set the arrangement of bread in order on it before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle. Yeah, it really was gold. Okay, so that would be on the south side. He lighted the lamps before the Lord. You going to light the lamps or? Oh, I guess not. As the Lord had commanded Moses, then he placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil. That's the altar of incense. Yeah, right in front of the veil. So, actually, move it right in front of the veil there. Okay. So, actually, the lampstands we said and the table would probably be halfway or so, but we get the idea. Then he set up the veil for the doorway of the tabernacle. So that would mean that he would have put the veil, which is the doorway here, there are five pillars here, and he would have put the veil up. So now you have a completed tabernacle on the inside. Okay, and then he set the altar of burnt offering before the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Now, we can't go next door, but it would be over there, 20 or 30 feet, 20 or 30 cubits or something like that, on that side. So we can't really do that. And that was about this high. Is that what you guys were saying? Yeah. So about up to our necks. So it was a big piece, and that was where they did the sacrifices. So that was a big grill. And then he placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. So that would have gone in between. If the screen is here, the doorway is here, then it would be the laver, and then following that, and you saw that in some of the diagrams that we saw. And that's where Aaron and his sons washed their hands and feet. When they entered the tent of meeting, when they approached the altar, they washed just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. And I think that's it. I thought I had one more slide. And once he did that, and then let's read this last section. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And I'm sure along with the glory of the Lord is magnificent light. We talked about that dark room. It's not a dark room when the Lord's there. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. This is the presence of the Lord. The Lord is with them, and it's visible to them. And this is the meeting place of the Lord with his people. Just want to ask you a couple questions. What does this teach us about the Lord? What does this teach us? What does it teach us about church buildings? Or does it teach us anything? Right. Yeah. He has very specific instructions about how we're to come to him. And how is that today? It's not through the tabernacle. It's through faith in Christ. And that's why the veil is torn in two, because we go through Christ. But can we go through some other way? It's very specific. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Does this, when you look at this, how do you compare this to churches today? It's a trick question. Pardon me? Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know, this doesn't tell us that we ought to fill our churches with gold. It doesn't tell that. There's not a parallel there. The parallel is what Tony said, is that Christ indwells us. But it tells us a little bit about how we ought to come to him. I mean, we talked about even how we come to worship him. And we at least ought to take a bath. We ought to present ourselves before the Lord in a way that is pleasing to him. And, you know, I don't think this says anything about, you know, gaudy churches. I don't think that's what he's teaching us at all. I don't think there's any connection. But I think we ought to take away that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. And we need to conduct ourselves in purity, knowing that He lives within us. And we approach Him only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's an important part of this. Any other last-minute comments? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, I think our time. Go ahead. Yeah, you know, He tells us to give. We ought to give out of hearts that are right with Him. I mean, that's what we have here, is hearts that were right. And when hearts were right, there was no end to their giving. Every morning, it says, they were giving to the Lord. And He had to tell them, enough is enough. Wouldn't that be a great thing if that were true of our churches today? You know, yes, one more. Yeah. 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 When we get to, you know, some of the functions of the tabernacle, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the elements here, but you're exactly right. This is a picture of our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of the articles of furniture have some indication of part of that picture. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the privilege of understanding a little bit about the tabernacle that You dwelt in during the Old Testament times. Thank You, Lord, that You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place and that You have drawn us to Yourself. And thank You that we can have access to You through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to take this lightly. Help us to come to You in spirit and in truth and in purity. Lord, I just pray Your blessing upon each one as we depart this class. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.